Inside of the movie Men in Black 3, there is a specific character that I feel a connection to far beyond the confines of this simple blockbuster movie. The character's name is Griffin, and he represents part of a continuum of the work I do and the mindset that I usually feel while I'm doing it. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The basic plot of Men in Black 3 is that a long-held prisoner from an alien world goes back in time and kills one of the two main characters, causing the other main character to have to go back in time and fight this creature and restore the timeline. Besides the death of one of the main characters, there's also preventing the installation of a protective force called the ArkNet around the Earth in 1969, which is a gift from the remaining member of an entire planet named Griffin, intended to protect the Earth from impending invasion from the forces that killed his own planet. Griffin has a very unique power, as portrayed in this movie. He is disconnected from time. Instead of just experiencing the normal progression of time, Griffin sees all possibilities and all intersections of all events happening. This makes him speak very oddly, and he's constantly moving back and forth between wondering which timeline he's ended up on and which possible outcomes have come true. It's played for comedy, and the actor behind it does an incredible job of giving Griffin a sense of wonder and also a sense of sadness as he's trying to prevent the same tragedy of his own species for Earth. The rest of Men in Black 3 is kind of irrelevant for what I'm talking about. The way the filmmakers portray Griffin as being constantly distracted, wide-eyed, happy, and then scared activates something in me, and I've never stopped thinking about how that character perceives time. Now, there are examples of a Griffin-like character in literature and even other movies. For example, there's Billy in Slaughterhouse-Five, who becomes unstuck in time, and most of that book is moving back and forth between different parts of his life, seamlessly moving as he both plays a part in his life and is an observer of it. However, Billy is locked in his timeline. He's not able to affect anything. He simply observes or knows about what's happening with memories of what came ahead of him and behind him with perfect clarity. There's Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen comic, who also loses track of time, being able to see what's happening and what isn't happening. In fact, he even finds some amount of fascination when, for a short period of time, he's denied the ability to always know what's happening next. One of the psychic characters in Minority Report, the Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise film, is beset constantly with awareness of what's going on. In fact, when she's rescued, one of her first lines is, "This now," showing how long it's been since she's had to pay attention to regular chronology. But getting back to Griffin, Griffin sees constantly all the different ways timelines have moved and even has special moments that he considers important, ones that he finds the most joy in, that he collects and says, "This is one of my favorite moments." This science fiction approach to telling us about memory and the future is critical to the kind of work that I do. For decades now, I've been collecting moments, moments that happened long ago, dozens of years, hundreds of years ago, compiled them into new observations and new lineages for the purposes of people knowing about them. Telling you a memory from my own life is one thing, but compiling the memories of others to try to figure out how it felt to move through those moments, that's an entirely different level of work. We don't know what moments that we experience in real time are ever going to be important later. How many are going to be forgotten if a photograph wasn't taken or a recording wasn't made? How many of them we will misremember because of our lack of direct knowledge of what happened, and our brains constantly struggling to find meaning in the world, putting these broken pieces of moments back together wrong. Sometimes it doesn't matter if what we've assembled, the pieces that we've put together, were never meant to fit. Bones that become skeletons that never existed, or portraits of people there never were. It's not always critical that we capture everything perfectly, but there's so many cases where a small amount of effort, a recording device, a photograph, a transcription, can provide us with just what we need looking back when we want to find the lessons, the memories, the thoughts that are behind us. Griffin is a passive character in Men in Black 3. While he contains the MacGuffin, the material object that matters in the plot, he's also somebody who moves at the behest of others. Protected, kidnapped, rescued, very much somebody who's an object himself within the plot. But when he's given his moments in the script to describe how he perceives the world, it's very magical. These possibilities that he sees, the timelines, the movements of forces that he's aware of that could go in multiple directions, they're real to him until they fall apart. Shuffling through thousands of papers and millions of files, digitizing all sorts of media, these are moments that I'm gathering. Many of them are built from a commercial aspect. They were done for money, for a job, because somebody was assigned to it. Some of these exist because there was a passion to tell this story. They are narratives telling a point of view, captured down to letters and words and pictures, reflecting minds and thoughts that are now no longer with us. There's something magical about hearing a voice of somebody who's gone, talking about things that mattered to them, gathering up the threads of logic and consideration to give us the gift of their insight. We float through time, alone and not alone. In our solitary thoughts, nobody intrudes. Those are ours and ours alone. But when we communicate with others, when we commit down to a medium, our ideas to be shared, reshared, modified, responded to, refuted, and applauded, we are playing a part in building these timelines far beyond ourselves. Science fiction is meant, in many ways, to give us hope, to give us a different way of thinking about the world, to inspire us that we might regard what we think of as basic, unmovable facts of life, and allow us to imagine a world where those shift, both for good and for bad. And Griffin, this important yet minor character in Men in Black 3, Billy in Slaughterhouse-Five, Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen, speak out to me when I find them, because fundamentally, this digital and analog history that I'm trying to gather is my time machine, and one I want to share with the maximum amount of people. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoianu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Symbionts, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I'm sure you've got characters from movies that inspire you in ways far beyond whatever film they ended up in. The magic of film. The reason I got into it in the first place when I was looking for a subject to study in my teens was the way that it could transport you out of your own life, transport you away from the locked down rules that you were given, and let you see the world in a different way. Sometimes for escapism, sometimes for inspiration. I don't think it's important to focus on the vessel where an idea came from. Here's an example. In one of the Kingsman movies, which are very light, very silly action-adventure films about a group of tailors that are actually world spies and action heroes, there's a moment when two of the characters, the apprentice and the master, are in the master's office. Are all sorts of headlines from front pages of newspapers, and they're all mundane. They're all simple things like celebrity battles or a football game or a heat wave. And when the apprentice asks, "Why do you have these up?" the master points to one after another. "This is the day we prevented an assassination. This is the day we prevented a bomb. This is the day that we took down an organization. And because we did that, the news day was slow." And I was so struck at the philosophy of that, of the work that one can do, the effort one puts in to stay out of the headlines, to stay away from accolade and prizes, just dedicating yourself to doing the right thing, knowing that while you won't get pomp and circumstance and maybe nobody will know, you'll know. You'll know the good work you did and the way the world didn't have to shift because of your efforts. Find your inspiration wherever you can.